All right, welcome in, guys. It's just guys at the moment. Small but perfectly formed group, but this is being recorded, so people will watch this later. We're doing an interview with Mehran. And anyway, he's been doing some really interesting work around online advertising. So I know I see Dion Seminara here. I know you've been doing that for years. Mehran has had some pretty interesting success. He's kind of documented along the way what he's been doing, but I think he's been really going full on into it. And I think I said in the build up to this, he's picked up quite a number of fees from doing it. So we're always interested to see when architects are doing something and they're doing it well, digging in and finding out exactly what they're doing. So that's what we're going to do today. So welcome in, Mehran. Can you give us a bit of a background on who you are, where you're based, what you do, who you do it for, so we know?
Okay, so
if you've got your camera.
How I got, let me turn my camera on. First of all, hello everyone. Let me try my camera, share my webcam. I am suffering from a little bit of a flu, so I'm sorry if I look terrible here. Hey everyone, this is Mehran. Just a little bit about myself. I'm Iranian originally. I came here to London in 2007. I studied at Architectural Association and then worked with Norman Foster for a few years and then started my own practice. The first few years accidentally were pretty good. We landed a multi-million pound, a few multi-million pound projects. Our fees were pretty good and we grew pretty fast until, we realized we didn't know anything. The projects drained and then the downfall started. And at that point I started learning how I may be able to essentially systematically deal with the issue of bringing business in. It took quite a few years to, go through ups and downs. Like, we still go through ups and downs, but we're a lot more systematic, I suppose, these days. So afterwards, I was receiving most of my projects from, personal network, personal contacts. There was a little bit of an issue with this. Every dinner, every art fair, every international art fair, meeting international clients, who are really my client base, the international people, as well as obviously native people here, but London in its nature is a very super international city. So me also being born somewhere else, it kind of opens that market towards me. Over the years, we have also been more working with some locals as well, but it's the nature of the business. Before becoming focused on the UK market, after going through the courses of architect marketing, Eric's, Richard, and Enoch's lessons, I used to be quite diverse. I still am somehow diverse, but I'll take you through it a bit more. So we were taking every project that was coming our way and, attending to a lot of international fairs, international design fairs, architecture, Art Dubai, Art Shanghai, Frieze Art Fair, meeting my clients mainly through the art world because I somehow got pulled into the art world at early stage of my career. But as I mentioned, there was a trouble with it. It was very expensive to essentially win a lead. And every dinner, every one of those trips was costing really a fortune. And to turn that lead into client, it was costing quite a lot. And I could not predict anything. I wouldn't know when that person will become my client. To a point that I was meeting everyone for business, and there is a point that you're the balance of your personal friends and the business relationships change. So I always fancied, you know, doing business for the sake of business and having friends for, you know, having fun with friends. And that was quite challenging in that equation of trying to see everyone as a potential client. So I started looking into a systematic way of turning people who are outside of my network. That was my focus over the past 2 years, I suppose, to turn people that I really don't know at all to my clients. And it's to begin with, it was really a fantasy, because how would you be able to secure a high fee, risky process? How would you win the trust of someone with, you know, thousands of pounds, you know, in cases, hundreds of thousands of pounds, to someone that you have not even met before? So over the journey, you know, trial and error, have tested, you know, various different methods. But to begin with, something worked, which completely changed the story. And that was LCC, really, that was LCC. That's, I think, the biggest, most important factor for my online marketing to pick up was LCC. So, you know, we started, you know, to fast forward, we started testing online campaigns. I took a course, and most of my mentors actually have been based in outside of London and outside of UK for some reason. There are not many people who come with resources here. So I have to shop around outside of the UK industry and then adopt it to my own industry here. So I started looking at online courses, how to run Facebook ads and Instagram ads, because I noticed that I buy most of my stuff from all those type of ads, and they have actually contributed value to my business. I flip through Instagram not to actually just to see my friends stuff, but to actually see the products ads, because they come to you. So I thought, what if I apply the same thing and I go to people through Instagram and Facebook? And before that, I also ran a little experiment with Google AdWords with an organization called what was the name of the organization? Hopefully by the end of this conversation, because I'm no longer working with them, but hopefully by the end of the conversation I'll remember. Adzuma, yeah, that was the name of the organization, who would charge you a flat fee and create a landing page and try to get a lead for you. So taking the lessons and doing the LCC, we had learned that we can break a very large commission into something small, very small, so that they can, you know, people, the risk that people have to take all of a sudden will become a lot more, or the decision that they need to take will become a lot more impulsive in the scale of an architectural project. So it's very difficult for a person to say, okay, I'll commit £30,000 commission to you, but it's a lot easier to say, I'll commit £1,000 to your services. In my case, my LCC has been adopted over the years, and I generally change it to somewhere between £2,500 and £3,500 for the niche I'm working on. I'm focused at the moment. So it's the LCC.
What is your niche, just out of interest?
Sorry?
What is your niche?
The residential market in the UK.
Okay.
Because I noticed, I have a hotel and I have, you know, a commercial residential, but, you know, systematically for my marketing, I focus on a residential. So I wouldn't say no when an office comes, and I wouldn't say no to a product design when it comes, because we have the internal in-house skills. But for marketing purposes, to understand and learn and move forward, and also to gain results with our limited resources, I focus on residential market for several reasons. One, general people, I believe one of the roles that designers have is to contribute into people's lives. It might sound cliche, but we always come back to that lesson of trying to even to the smallest part, to the smallest, you know, bit, contribute to the lives of people that we work with. And we were receiving a lot of rewards from working with, still pretty wealthy, but, you know, sitting in the middle class rather than the super wealthy and the royal families that I used to work before, we were getting a lot of rewards from the people that we started working with, and they were seeing a lot of changes in their lives. And I became very interested in this, and coincidentally, I looked into it, and there were 500,000 planning applications only in the UK. So I thought, if I, you know, secure a small part of it, the backbone of the office will become quite strong. And so I can keep my staff, I can nurture my staff, and we still are open to all the other projects that were coming our way each now and then. So also, there were the people who were online most of the time, and, you know, for smaller commissions as well, it was easier to target those people, and we very obviously overqualified in that market as well. So it was a relatively quick journey having for us to get into that market. Still, we're learning from some of the processes, because we were working mainly on international projects. Now we have to, over the past 2 years, we had to familiarize ourselves with a lot of local rules and regulations for that particular niche. But from the marketing perspective, so I started giving a free 30 minutes consultation. In that 30 minutes consultation, by the way, it was one of the resources that you can download from the Architects Marketing. I just adjusted it a little bit, took the templates, adjusted it a little bit to the questions that are relevant to people. And I took them through, generally offered in our advertisements, a free 30 minutes phone consultation. Within that 30 minutes for consultation, you would realize if that person is a relevant customer for you or not, and you would learn a lot about that customer. If you learn a lot about that those projects, and if you really think about it, you would have to interview your client anyways. While you're giving some values to your client, you're the one really interviewing that person to see if the person is the right match. And from there, from that conversation, that 30 minutes, all of a sudden, that lead is no longer stranger, but it's a person that you have somehow connected with. At that stage, I would offer a very small commission, as I mentioned. In my case, it's around 2,500 to 3,500 for creating some sketches, not really sketches, but we are technologically based, let's say technologically anchored. So all of our projects are based in 3D, and, you know, compared to the market of this niche, well, even on that stage, which is really creating some or exploring the potentials of the projects and creating some plans and so on, we charge people, let's say, properly for the amount of time that one staff member needs to spend on the project.
And then can I just stop you there? Because there's lots of information you're giving here, and it's great, right? And I'll say to people too, I'm sure people listening to this will have lots of questions. So type questions in the questions window as Mehran is going through it. And I'll read them out to him, and he can address them as he's going through. But just so we're clear about the process, so what you did was you put ads on Facebook. The offer was, what was the headline? What was the word you used to offer this 30-minute consultation?
I can show it to people, but I created a slideshow, not really a slideshow. This, you know, this I forgot the terminology. It's a multi-image advert that on each one of them I said, you know, realize your dream, you know, build up what some titles, you know, I thought about each one of them, some titles and, you know, one or two lines behind under each one of the images. Knowingly or unknowingly, I've been reading a lot more afterwards. It taps into people's main desires, I suppose, of building wealth, happiness and success and so on. And they click. So if they are a homeowner, if they want to, you know, untap into their unknown, you know, wealth, or, you know, unfold their potentials of their family happiness, or they want to create a wow factor in houses so that, you know, when people come into their houses, they're gobsmacked, etc. Everyone wants to stand out. So we were tapping into all of these and doing proper research into the field. We realized we are able to really use the same type of construction budgets that other people use, but deliver a vision for normal people. And that really would set us apart from other practices in the field, that, you know, people are either scared to work with architects, or the architects who are prepared to work with that niche, they essentially, they are the ones who really don't think about the quality of people's lives. So, and we kind of sat somewhere in the middle saying we are researching into this industry and we believe that we can build something better with what you're already spending. And that over time was a success, because, you know, the foundation of the design really doesn't require, you know, extra expenditure on the project. And if you really look at, you know, I don't want to dig into the way things are done here or the fundamentals of design, because I'm sure everyone here is a good designer and passionate about what they do. It's about really making what we like to do work, essentially. So that's, I think that's, this is the focus of this conversation and this course. So where was I? So
can you show us any of the Facebook ads or anything like that you can show us?
Yeah, for sure. I'll show you the Facebook ads and also show you how much I've spent on them, how many people I've managed to reach, and how many of them have I been able to convert. And to be really honest with people, I mean, the chart is right behind this this screen, and I'll share it a bit later with people, with my colleagues. I have been able to reach 63,727 people by spending around 1,800, £900 or something. And a small percentage, very small percentage of them returned to clients, but that, you know, far outweighed the expenditure on the project, simply because when you're selling a cup with advertisement, you have to sell a lot of them. When you sell architectural services, you only have to sell a few of them to be able to make that journey really worthwhile. So I think it's a no-brainer if the niche of the type of are you making?
Okay,
let's do this.
There we go. Now you might need to enlarge that if you can.
Okay, so let's see. What do I do with the go to? Okay. All right. And what do we do with this?
Isn't the Facebook Ads Manager at the moment? This is kind of the control panel when you're doing Facebook ads.
I'm trying to minimize the GoToWebinar window. It pops up and then disappears again. Oops. All right. People can see me. I received this notification. Okay, so you see these are my image cards. So if I go to the overview of my campaigns, you see that I have not been spending anything this month. So I had 222,000 impressions. The amount I've spent in total so far has been 2,000. And you see the frequency of my adverts. So it's not been very, super continuous, sometimes because we got too busy, sometimes because I did not have enough time to talk to the leads, because right now I am doing the whole process. Because first of all, I want to learn to be able to teach someone, and I suppose I haven't done it enough to be able to, and as you can see, to be able to teach someone else to do it. And most of my adverts have been on in the whole of the United Kingdom, which is bizarre because my adverts only focus on London, but somehow, I don't know, it reaches to the whole of the UK. It might be something that I have to improve, yet it's been successful as it is. So these are the type of people who have been engaging with my ads. So 35 to 44, almost equal percentage of men and women. The number of people that I have been able to reach, and the time of the day that we have been able to reach them. Then we get into the campaign, and just to give people a little bit of a background, the first Facebook advert that I created with a different account was a complete failure. It didn't get me anything, but I like the idea of being able to generate people, leads for online, because that potentially means unlimited amount of customers. So I kept on trying. So if I show you this ad together, this was my first set of ads. And you see here the cost per lead has been £16 and £17. So I pay £17 to be able to talk to someone.
Is that per meeting, or is that per? Well, I suppose it is, because all you're offering is a 30-minute chat, right?
Yeah. So from this ad set that I have been using, I have generated 78 leads. From the previous one, 20 leads. And if I turn it on, the previous one was somehow more successful in the amount of money I spent per lead. So each lead kind of worked £14, but there was a problem with it. Every time I had to reset it, and the algorithm would forget who to target. So I had to kind of change my budget, daily budget, etc., and come and create this other advert. And there's still so much to learn, because it's just such a big world. And if we look at one of the, let's say, ad sets, let's turn this off. So on this one, I turn it on whenever I kind of want customer.
Do you hear that, people listening to this? He turns it on every time he wants some customers. how would you like that?
This is the premise of this method.
It is. If you can make it work.
You get clients on demand. Obviously, it sounds a lot easier when you say it, but obviously you have to talk to these people, and sometimes it's a painful process, but the beauty of it is, you know, a percentage of those people will convert, and some of those people, I have three ongoing clients from online advertisement. I have to say, they're some of my best clients. They're really good people. They appreciate your work. And before me continuing to We talk so much. Hi.
Miron, this is Eric. I just jumped on. I know we've talked before. Can you use a preview to show one of the ads or more?
Yeah, I'm trying to come to one of the successful ones so that people can see the campaign.
I just say while you're doing that, Miran, obviously at Architect Marketing Institute, we do Facebook advertising. It's our number one lead source for getting clients, and we spend sort of a decent amount of money every single month doing it. And it literally, for us, the more we spend, ideally, the more we can get. And it's something we do, but it's not something. I've seen some architects do a bit of Facebook advertising, but it's been really inconsistent with the results that they've got. We had Victoria Reed do it, and she got phenomenal results. It kind of depends. I don't know. It kind of depends. But so it's really interesting to see you doing this to this degree, and the ability just to be able to turn ads on and off. And Eric knows way more about all this stuff than me, so I might let Eric ask more questions than I do. So yeah. I'll take the next seat.
Yeah, absolutely, Richard. I believe what it does depend on the niche you choose to be in.
Mm.
It did matter to me how I get my leads. As mentioned, I am open to the traditional way of getting leads. It's still, you get probably still your biggest customers from that method, but this method is reliable, at least the one I know. Mm. That it is quite reliable. You can say, you can see the costs I've been spending in different ad sets, and I'll show to people what are the differences between these ones. Mainly, in the type of campaign, it varies, but it doesn't vary significantly. On average, I've been spending £16 per lead.
And per appointment. So per appointment. People listening to this. Yeah.
Per appointment. Yeah, per appointment. So I've generated 75 leads here, to be exact. I've generated 78 leads in total, because three of them came from Adzuma, and one of them was turned to a client. So in total, I generated.
Can you bring up on screen? Can you bring up on screen one of the ads? Because this is just numbers. I want to see the images and the message that you've done. If you just click on one of them on the left side,
this is one of the ads. Yeah, if you want to see.
And then click on preview in the upper section.
Oh, that's actually better. Yeah, you're right. Where are we in preview? Where is preview? Oh, yeah. So let's say this is, the type of ad that we do for the Instagram ads. And by the way, Instagram and Facebook were almost performing similarly, but I chose to focus on Facebook or on Instagram because it was also growing the account a little bit. So it was kind of joining the effort. So in this particular ad that you see, we have a few images of some of the projects that are either finished or on the go.
Okay, and then your call to action here is book now.
Yeah, book now, or in this particular one, or some of them were learn more. Transform your home, we design exceptional home with extraordinary whatever. And in this one, the next image would say something else, build a home you love.
So in this case, when they click book now, does it come up with the Facebook lead form so that they're actually filling it in on Facebook, or are you taking them to
a
website?
Good question, Eric. A very good question. I tried two different ways. One was a landing page into my website, and the other one was Facebook lead form. The Facebook lead form performed better, but the landing page converted more customer. I'm not at the point that they give you a solid response. A lead form generated more leads for sure, because it was simpler. But the website, I suppose, generated less leads, but those leads were, I suppose, more solid. So recently I noticed when the advertisement runs, some people put down their details, some people don't put down their details, and then they, you know, I do the same thing all the time. And then I go and check the accounts, and I go and check the website, and then I contact that person, you know, in my own way, or I message the person, or I email them, or call them, and that happens as well. But the way that we have been exposed to those customers, and I have got two customers this way, and the way that we have been exposed to those people have been through this these ads. It's like you show people what you're able to do for that for them, and if they find it relevant, they contact you, or they, you know, you go through these 30 minutes consultation, and then to LCC, and from there I would give them a full scope of proposals. And yeah,
can you give me just a sense? You have 78 leads that have come in. How many of them have actually gone ahead to have a phone consultation? Because I imagine some of them might give you their information, but then never show up or never book an actual time.
Yeah, out of all of these people, I turned four of them into customers, and sometimes I've been not as proactive as well, in the way that we were following up and so on. So the way we deal with it, it's not only now, we also have an automated email sent to them. And by the way, from those, we have received nothing really. We have got a 10-day appointment robot that I've created, and I send them valuable, I like to think, you know, valuable information. People do check them. We have around 45% rate of opening the emails, but no one really called from those. And we're yet to set up the newsletters in that way, but we also don't wait to just for the automatic marketing to work. We pick up the phone and call those people because they've submitted their details. They can't say, why do you call me? Because they've submitted their details.
Yeah.
So, and then
I think that's essential because you can't get away from face-to-face contact. I mean, you can automate things, which makes things easier, but it doesn't make it more effective. There's nothing more effective than one person connecting with another. And automation's great, but I think it's essential in a situation like this to get phone numbers and then follow up with a phone call. And if they say no, they say no, that's fine. But you want to get a yes or a no out of them one way or the other, and then you can move forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So out of the 78, you mentioned that you have four customers, which is great. So that's one out of 20 approximately. And that, given that your lead cost is about £17, then if you multiply that by 20, you're paying £340 for a customer, and your customers are worth thousands of pounds, many thousands of pounds ultimately.
One of them just last week transferred £25,000 to me, so it paid for the whole of the year. next year, really.
How many phone calls out of the 78, how many of you have been able to reach and actually have the 30-minute call out of the 78 who filled in the form?
Apart from those who somehow we either don't manage to reach, some of them, Eric, at the end of the day, one thing, our marketing strategy still needs a lot of work. So a lot of these leads, we actually are guilty of missing because, you know, if we don't reach them after a few days, we don't follow up further.
Well, that's fine.
And I'd say I speak to 40% of them, and out of those 40%, and this is not really an accurate number, but let's say 30%, we have a proper conversation and it gets pretty close. And sometimes I've been the one not accepting the project because either they've been too small, or, you know, too out of my way, or I didn't qualify to be a client.
From a high level, you've got about 80 leads. You've spoken to about 30% of them, 25, give or take. You've won four projects that are, of course, way more valuable than the amount of money and time that you've spent. So those are interesting numbers to keep track of, because obviously if you can reach a higher number, you know, in other words, instead of 30%, you end up reaching 40%, maybe you get a little bit more business. And you can also just anticipate what your cost is. And maybe when you aren't so busy, you know, you just keep running the ads and you know that you're spending £500 in a month, or you're spending whatever it is, and you can anticipate that you're going to be bringing in, you know, another job.
Absolutely, you're 100% right. I think one of my strategies for this year, we'll see how that goes. I'll let you know definitely. I want to create a webinar, because every time I go and see a client, I have a procedure. I show some of our projects, I answer the questions, I explain how the procedure works, a little bit of our portfolio, you know, what we've been able to contribute, etc. So if I manage to bring all of that, which is not very difficult, in a presentation, and like what you guys do, and bring 10 people together under this one webinar, I would save a lot of energy, turning those people into potential customers, and then shortlist them from there. So one of my experiments next year will be to run the ads, but get the sign up for a webinar, and then from the webinar,
you could do a webinar. I mean, we're talking about doing the heavy lifting before you turn up for the meeting, so that they're pre-indoctrinated and they're predisposed to working with you, you know, right before you even start the first meeting. That's the objective, right?
Exactly.
Not only are they predisposed to working with you, they know how you work and they're accepting of that. They know what makes you different and what's special, and they've bought into that. They've covered all the things that you want them to go through in their head, and maybe made some of the decisions that you want them to make before you even get to that meeting, so that you've almost trained them even from the first meeting on how to be a good client for you. You know, what good behavior is, what the roadmap is, what the rules are. Oops, I think we've lost him. Oh, he's back.
A webinar
is a great idea. The other thing you can do is a shock and awe box.
Yeah, we're working on them. I can show you one of them. Let me actually go and bring them. I can't see your Eric. I think probably you can help me here. I don't see you guys. I think I minimized the window.
If you go to the menu that is for go to webinar or go to meeting and say bring all the windows to the front, there may be a menu called window, and you can say bring to front.
I have a menu.
You don't need to see us anyway, Mehran.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like to see you as well.
There's a question. There's a question from Romero. He says, "What quality of clients do you get from Facebook?"
The same quality of people that I would say yes to if they came, if they called me directly from one of my personal networks as well. So one of the houses that we are doing now has £500,000 renovation budget. The other one has around 450 that I believe it will grow. One of them is smaller, is around £200,000 budget. So they change from, let's say, £200,000 construction, the online one that I've been focusing on, to £1.5 million maximum. Or at least these are the ones that I have been focusing on. Privately, I got projects that have higher, obviously, construction costs, but this is the way we have focused our marketing.
Yeah.
on this particular niche and with this particular cost. But they're very successful people. But as I mentioned, we also need to evaluate what are the people, what are the potential clients out there that are enough of them, you know, on Instagram, so that, or you know, social media or Google Ads, etc., so that you can convert a percentage of them and you still survive and you still make your advertisement. So the market needs to be relatively big, which is one of the reasons I chose this market. So I see potentials of office buildings as well for this niche.
Right.
And also in the future, some other things will open up. The online is getting bigger and bigger. I had to look into it, and I hope other people experiment with them with their niche as well, to see, you know, if we are able to break the rhythm and secure other bigger projects through online networks. As I was just mentioning to Richard just before this webinar, today I got into an agreement with House, and they claim to have a larger client base in terms of the budgets. And let's see what we do. So I have a 12 month contract with them and see how it goes. But the other area I see potential is Pinterest.
So Mehran, can I ask a couple of other just questions about your advertising strategy there?
Yes.
So one is, you showed one example of an ad that had a number of images, each one with a little sort of thematic quote about aspirations, you know, make your home or make your place something special. So that's one way of approaching things. And your call to action was either learn more or book now. Have you been doing anything with downloads like the project planning pack? Or is it all of it?
I have experimented, Eric, a lot with the downloading. You know, to giving people some useful materials, and that for me wasn't successful.
That for you was not successful.
Was not successful for me.
Okay, so you didn't find you got in contact with people and were able to engage when you were offering just a download in this case.
Yeah, for me it didn't work. I suppose if you have a funnel, that might work. So people download something, and then you take them to a different page, and show them some stuff, and then you know get close to them. But for the download itself, a lot of people downloaded them, and wasted a lot of money, but then nothing came out of it.
Okay, all right. So then the direct to the call to have a direct conversation has worked much better. When you're reaching out to them to make that conversation, so you said you have some email, but the phone calls have been very instrumental. When you reach someone, are you saying, hey, can you talk now? Or are you trying to say, I wanted to set up an appointment? You know, are you trying to sort of arrange a time to talk, or are you just grabbing, oh, I've reached you, let's talk?
When I call myself, I generally talk, and if the person is not available, I say, are you available tomorrow this time? And we try, you know, back and forth a few times, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But those people who are serious, they would allocate time and they speak with you. Generally, but to be fair, you know, sometimes I have personally been keen, but I wasn't able to talk to those people. So out of probably we need 1,000 more experiments to really understand the underlying logic. But sometimes it's a miss from both of our sides, because we miss that client and they miss our services, I suppose. When we don't manage to reach each other, it's, if you really want to look at the content, it's like you show that you're out there with are able to provide these services, and if people really need those services all those visions, they would come to you. Mm-hmm. And if the right match happens, it's brilliant. And sometimes we just miss each other out in trying to reach those people.
Have you tried doing any texting? I'm just wondering if you don't reach someone, do you text them?
Yeah, I mean, I tried. I suppose one of them worked, but it was one of my smallest commission. It was for a lighting design for a project that we did, which, yeah, and then it developed to something slightly larger. But yeah, sometimes we sent text messages as well when we were not able. And I recently also connected, based on your recommendation, Eric, I connected to Zapier. So now all of my contacts, all the leads automatically go to Arch Marketing. But as mentioned, I haven't really been able to utilize the automatic email marketing as well. But the problem is not with the email marketing, the problem is with me, that's for sure. Because, you know, all of these businesses out there are using it successfully. It's about us figuring out how to use it.
Right. Right. And then your last question, just technical. Targeting, are you just saying anyone in the London area that's on Instagram sees it, or are you doing some demographic or other types of targeting to say, you know, I only want people who have a certain income or some other criteria?
Are you guys in the US are so lucky because you can target people with income? We can't. In Europe, we're not allowed to target people with income. So that category is not available. But people in the US who are able to target people based on their income group, it's the advertising would become a lot easier. So my rule is, based on my experience, you know, a lot of my clients have been lawyers and financiers and some business owners, you know, some people who can afford, you know, £500,000 to spend on the house, or £200,000-£300,000 on their house. They generally either businessmen or they come from, you know, high earning services. So I selected within the demographics of London M25, I think 10 miles radius of central London. And I define what job categories they have. Let's say either, you know, business owners, etc., etc. I also included contractors. And over the time, I only spoke to two contractors, I suppose. And then I exclude, I also add interest of people. So people who look at house, people who look at this and the other, related to design, grand design, etc., people who genuinely have an interest in the industry. And then I exclude designers, interior designers, and architects, and students.
Okay, so to summarize then, because you can't do income-based targeting, and I'm not even sure whether that's still possible in the US, you're specifically including people who have certain professions, and you mentioned lawyers and finance and contractors. You're excluding some, like architects or designers, and then you're also making your audience targeting based on interest, if they're interested in design things. Are you, do you have your audience, would you be able to show us just one of your audience definitions?
Yeah, let me see, you didn't show one of the recent ones.
So while you do that, I'll just mention to everyone who's on, one of the keys about marketing, and Richard would agree wholeheartedly, is that you want to decide who you'd like to speak to, you know, who is going to be a good candidate, where to find them. Obviously, social media is one place. And if you can find the ones who match your ideal client profile, you know, it's always going to be a guess, because you're going to have some people who don't match that. But you kind of have the best chance to get in front of the people who could say, oh, this looks interesting.
Yeah, that's very important. It's with the amount of money we're spending, number of relevant people who see our work, it's just really possible through these type of tools. If you really consider it, we don't spend any money on these advertisements compared to the traditional advertisement. And we're reaching quite a lot of people who are relevant. Gosh.
Okay. So do you have saved audiences? Because it might be it might be that's where you would see the audience choice. Or did you set your audience for each one of the ad sets individually?
No, I have saved audience, yeah. So this is, you see, my daily budget is £35 here. And this is the ad. And okay. So this is my target audience. Is that what you wanted to see?
Yeah. So we can see you're excluding.
Look at the number of people here as well. This is very important. So, you know, I exclude people and include all these in interests because there are so many people in London. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to reach to 6 million people. It's too broad. So I have to add these interests to bring them down to, otherwise I'll be spending a lot of money without detailed targeting, really. Okay. And there are so many options still that we have not explored. Mm-hmm. If people are keen to jump on board and share some ideas and exchange thoughts, etc., it's great because there's a lot to learn from this process.
Right. Okay.
Works, what doesn't work, what sort of audience is optimum, you know, in different cities. Definitely, let's say if someone lives in a small town, you would not need all of this because you want to maximize your reach. But if you live in a huge town, a huge city, you would have to somehow narrow down your audience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We saw that with Victoria Reid, who lives in a town called, she's out in the country in New Zealand, and she really just posted, I think she used the project planning pack, but then she moved them straight through to an appointment pretty quickly. But she got a lot of responses, probably because most people in that area weren't used to seeing an architect advertise on Facebook in that area. So sometimes being in a small area can actually be an advantage. It certainly was for her.
Definitely, because there is less competition. I mean, in London, there's just so much competition and so many talents. When I was younger, I would say we're the best of the best. But to be fair, there's just so many talents, and you realize so many of them are actually better than we are in many ways, experience and everything. And we have to compete, and we have to be very good at what we do and be very cost competitive.
Okay, so that primary text, I don't think we saw this before. So that's what people see when they say click to show more, right? So the primary text that we're seeing on the left side of this preview. So this is what people see.
Yes. So this has been quite effective, actually.
All right, so let's put that on screen for a moment. You design exceptional homes, book your free consultation, and whether you're thinking of this or that. Okay, so this is what you're doing to encourage people to take action. And this is very critical. This is copy. This is text. It's motivational and very, very clear. You are calling out the aspirations and what you can do for them, and then also who it's for, whether you're thinking to apply for planning permission or transform your interiors. So you're, you know, very specific there.
Yeah, and also very specific in the target audience, making it easy for them to take action from there, but then we shortlist them. When we talk to them.
Now the book now brings up a form that would just have name, email address, and phone number. Or do they have some other questions that they fill in?
It's a very simple form. It has their phone in name, full name, phone number, and email address. That's it.
Okay, great. So we're going to have to finish up. I know Richard has to go to do another call. What's your plan for this next year? Where are you going to go? What changes are you going to make?
I'll be more focused on the marketing. I'll be experimenting with the webinar. I'll be experimenting a bit more with the various tools and hopefully narrow down the ones that work for us. If webinar works, fantastic. and then hopefully narrow down the ways and train someone to do it for me. After we learn enough, and hopefully Richard will teach me some better ways of getting clients as well.
Yeah, I've got to go. So thank you very much, Grant. I've got to go and run the 6 Q&A webinar. So some of the people here may be on that, but really appreciate it. Really interesting to see what you're doing. And
my pleasure.
I'll be in touch with you.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you, Richard.